Welcome back as we continue our examination of the scripture readings for the season of Advent. Today we look at the third Sunday of Advent. As is usual, I ask you at this time to take your Bible and read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 to 6 and verse 10. We continue now as we have the previous 2 weeks with the reading from the prophet Isaiah, but today we move from chapter 11 to chapter 35. Which is entitled Israel's Deliverance. In the first 34 chapters, while listing the reasons for Israel's downfall, there were glimmers of hope, but with chapter 35, the joy of those redeemed burst forth in Scripture. In verses 1 to 10 today, Isaiah gives nature human characteristics, which is common throughout his writings. He talks about the steppe, for instance, rejoicing or breaking into song. His purpose is to beautifully paint pictures of deserts blooming in radiance and rejoicing by breaking out in songs, images that the people could understand. These verses were written long before the actual event, and these 10 verses give a glimpse of what will be described later in chapters 40 to 55, when the exiles return from Babylon to the Promised Land. Even the singing mentioned in verse 10 will be repeated when they return to the Promised Land. Verse 2 mentions Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon. Now these were fertile lands that were known for their great natural beauty. But even these will be outshone by the beauty of the kingdom that awaits those who believe. For our second reading, I need you to turn to the epistles, the letter of St. James, chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. Scholars agree that this author was James of Jerusalem, who was the first bishop of that city. He is also known as James the Just, a man of exceptional piety and prayer. He is not the apostle James, who is the brother of John, who together were known as the Sons of Thunder among the 12. This letter was written in elegant Greek, and his theme was one of single-mindedness and humble devotion to God through prayer. James the Just was martyred in 62 AD in Jerusalem on orders of the Jewish high priest of the temple, who was upset with this group of outsiders who were following Christ. The letter is addressed to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. These were Jews scattered throughout the area of Palestine and the neighboring territories of the Mediterranean world, who did not physically reside in what is known as the Promised Land. James is addressing his audience, telling them that just as Job and the prophets suffered hardships throughout their lives and ministry, these same people also practiced patience, knowing that a better life was on the way. Verse 7 talks about being patient until the coming of the Lord, but scholars do not agree on what this verse actually means. Is it the coming of the Lord at the end of time? Or is it judgment against Israel for their treatment of this new group of believers? Verse 7 tells all to be patient, like a farmer who waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. The early rains were those that fell in the fall, and they were needed for the spring grain to grow. The late rain is moisture that arrives in the winter, needed for the summer olives and grapes to ripen. The seeds of faith have been planted, and in due time, when appropriate, will bloom. Faith cannot be rushed. We just have to be patient until it ripens within us. Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 11. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. As we did last week, we continue reflecting on the life and ministry of John the Baptist. John, in this chapter, is in prison for speaking about the immorality and injustices of the leaders. When he hears the works being performed by his cousin Jesus, John wonders, could he be the Messiah? In verse 7, Jesus tells those asking about him to report on what they see. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Images that we read in the first reading from Isaiah that were the signs that the Messiah was present. In verse 7, Jesus is speaking to the crowds about the Baptist after John's disciples leave. What did you expect to see? A reed swayed by the wind? John was not one who would change in order to fit whatever the popular opinion of the day was. John the Baptist did not bend. He stayed firm in his beliefs and teachings. The idea is repeated in verse 8, where again Jesus shows that his cousin was not concerned with the things the world considers important, like wearing fine clothes or living in royal palaces. Instead, John is a prophet, not one who predicts the future, but tells of a possible future that awaits those who choose the ways of the world over the ways of God. In verse 11, Jesus proclaims that among those born of women there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. While the Baptists did not share fully in the blessings of the new covenant that Jesus establishes, this in no way undermines the saintly life of his cousin, the Baptist, who planted seeds to prepare the way of the Lord. This is Deacon Mike reminding you to live the Word.